Actually, I was trying to get a picture of Jason Ma. Do you know anyone? Anyone of you who knows Jason Ma here? I was trying to get a picture of him, but I can't just connect with the Wi-Fi here. Maybe it's not God's will. Anyway, okay, Jason Ma is a Korean rap artist. But take note, he's a Christian rap artist. Now, how can you combine that? A hip-hop, and then Christian, singing rock, and then reading God's word? How could that be? Okay, but he's being used by God here in LA, UCLA, Korea. He went to Taiwan, he went to Asian countries, reaching out for young people with one message. What is that? I was lost. I was a drug addict. My mom planned to abort me. But here I am. The Lord saved me. And what a mess my life had became a message. Thank you. Thank you. The mess that he had, God changed it to become a message. So when he was still in the mother's womb, mom says, I have 2 daughters already. I cannot afford to have another one. So he talked with the dad, who was separated with the mom already. I can't have this baby. This is an excess. So the dad says, yeah, that's right. This is an accident. We don't want it. So she was in the hospital bed at that time, about to have this baby aborted. Okay, just when the doctor is administering all this stuff, a sister from our church that she was joining passed by and said, what are you doing here? And she says, you know, this is a mistake. I plan to abort this. And the sister encouraged her, okay, stop her. And then the mother says, maybe this is from God. I'll keep this baby, no matter how the dad does not want the baby anymore. So she kept him. He grew up. But growing up in a single mom without a dad caused him to suffer emotionally and socially. So when he was in your age, okay, who's like 15 years old here? 15. Well, fine. There goes James. Okay, so we have James. I'm something like James. Okay, so he was hooked on drugs. His friends were the Mexicans, the Latinos. He's a Korean guy. But he got hooked on drugs. And then to a point, he had a job, something in some fashion designer company, and he would steal those expensive coats, like thousands of dollars, and then sell drugs. Okay? And then one day, he was caught, he was arrested, and then he was to be in prison. But something happened there. You know the Koreans? They are prayerful people. Have you been to Korean Mountain? Anyone? Korean? Korea? Okay, that's our lady. Are we from San Jose Christian Assembly? Yeah. We're from San Jose Christian Assembly. Okay, we don't have a chance to introduce ourselves. Okay, Korean moms are perfect moms. So, something happened along the way that Jason got a turning point in his life. He met Jesus and opened his life to the Lord, forsook his friend, and turned his heart to the Lord. And what happened to his life? He studied theology. But it's blood runs hip-hop, music, rap, what can I do with it? Okay, so he incorporated the song to preach God's love. So one time he was in a music studio to audition his song, I want to become an artist, and the manager says, okay, let's listen to your song. I'm a rapper. Okay, so he started to rap. But when he started to rap, he was quoting Bible verses, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, blah, 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 blah. And then the manager says, you rap well, you know, but don't mention about God, don't mention about Jesus. He says, no, I can't, this is my story, and I want to share it out. Okay, let's try it. Okay, so there was some beat there, and he rapped, and then put it in YouTube, and if you Google it, YouTube, it's called Jesus Love, the love of Jesus, Jason Love. And there were a lot of hits there. Okay. So something happened along the way that changed Jason here. I have a topic here in this conference. Hopefully, you'll catch something here. Entitled, Enthralled. Okay. So anyone here will tell me what is the meaning of enthralled, and he will get a lollipop later on, a chocolate lollipop, a coffee latte lollipop. Anyone, enthralled. What is enthralled? Is this Margaret over there? Is Margaret? Okay, she'll give you some best prizes. Slide it, raise your hand, but they don't know. Yeah, okay. What is in front, anyone? One hand over there, yes? Excited and happy. Is that acceptable? Okay, what else? Any answer? No answers. Come on, guys. Okay, so what does it say? Hurry up! 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. And over there. Appeal. Come on, okay. Anyone there? The college guys here? Can you help us out? Taco? What? What's that? Raptured, as in raptured in heaven? Enraptured. Okay, let's see. So it says here that I'm captivated! I'm captured! Something that I saw, that I'm drawn, I'm captured, I'm captivated. This guy is not being, this is not being pushed. Go to school, wake up early. But I saw something there that I'm drawn. There's something pulling him. Okay? I'm charmed, spellbound, fascinated. Wow, this lady just passed by, and then the flashing smile and the wave over her, I'm just so fascinated. I see stars all over. Okay. Enslaved and subjugated. I will give you the star, the moon, the stars. Just say yes. Okay? So this person is enthralled. She or he saw something, captured his heart. And then now he follows that object. He follows a dream. He follows that person. Now we're hoping that through this conference, we get out, we come home, enthralled. Something in our heart, God opens something in our heart. But we see something there. When we come out, change, captured, captivated. Okay. So, all throughout this conference, I will be sharing about the life of Paul. Paul is a person enthralled, captivated, heart captured, fascinated, spellbound. Paul is a person who is subjugated, okay, enslaved by God's love and by God's glory. Our main theme in this conference is lift up your heads, the King of Glory is coming. We pray that we truly lift up our hands and we see the coming glory. Okay, what about Paul? Paul here, he was formerly a persecutor of the church, advancing in Judaism, zealous for his ancestral tradition. Okay, so put it this way, he's a very successful person. He works in a church, in a religion, again, and he's hardworking, on fire, and then he surpasses his peers. So he's a person in success, in power, in fame. Okay, but something happened along the way that changed Paul. It says here, I no longer pursue fame, power, or maybe wealth. I want to be a servant of Christ. I will be a prisoner of Christ, and I'm willing to die for Christ. So here, Paul, something happened along the way. There's a change, a turning point in him. Offering himself to the living Christ. Preach God's word. He was opposing this sect. Okay. I don't like the sect. I don't like this religion. This is wrong. Get out from it. And he was persecuting people who belonged to the sect, putting them into prison and then some are being executed. But then something happened that he's now promoting the sect. This is right. Believe in it. Come join the sect. And then when he was imprisoned by this, he willingly and embraced it. He rejoiced in imprisonment. He accepted it. And then when he was martyred, he martyred willingly for Christ. Okay. Something happened. What happened with Jason, man? What happened to Paul? Okay. Instead, there's only one word. They were captivated. They were enthralled. They were captured. Okay. So Paul's spiritual encounter, maybe you could do that for me. Okay. Thank you. Is that when he was doing this persecution thing, he was in Damascus, and then he's ready to persecute more Christians, and then bring them to the chief priests and the elders. Along the way, suddenly a bright light shone from heaven. Pack. And amazingly, this light was so powerful that he fell down, and his companion all fell down. Have you tried switching on the light, and then you fall down? And what kind of light is that? Now this light is so powerful. Flashed upon him for land. And then a voice from heaven, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus, the one whom you are persecuting. Okay, now this was an event in Paul's life that caused him to turn, a turning point in his life, an encounter with God. Okay, if you have been to a lot of youth ministry, okay, there was a time on the youth ministry when praise and worship is being added. Okay, we have praise and worship concert, praise and worship seminar, praise and worship leadership. That's good. But there's a point in time that emotionalism takes place of encountering with God. So I have a very important to share this morning about checking our relationship with God. Okay, what do I have here? Do I really have a spiritual encounter with God? Or do I just only have an emotional relationship with Him? Maybe a family tradition, or maybe a head knowledge with Him. Okay, I have this in video anyway. Let's see how Paul met the Lord.
So why are you doing this?
Reuben is a pompous fool.
Not that. Chasing after these people because they believe differently than you.
That's what God wants.
How do you know?
They're teaching lies. Their Messiah is dead. They're taking advantage of our countrymen. The law preserves Israel. It must be followed at all costs.
People risk their lives by believing in Jesus. No one's been taken advantage of.
It is a play of the power by a sect who lost their leader. Now they don't want to lose their position. They're making up lies.
They do miracles in his mind.
But that's a positive sign of false teaching. Only God can perform miracles.
They say Jesus
is. There's only one God.
What if you're wrong?
There's blood on my hands. There's no going back.
Thank you.
So one event in Paul's life changed him totally. He's a person enthralled, captured by God's glory. We want to check ourselves if we have this kind of experience like Paul. Last year, we had a brother from LA come visit our church, and then I was asking him, how are our young people in LA? We do not know it from San Jose. So I just want to learn something more. And then he shared a lot. But then at the end, there was a sad tone there, saying, you know, one thing sad about our young people is that most of them graduating high school and dropping out of church when they go to college. Like, a huge percentage. Okay. So I could see the dismay on his face. Okay. So I carry this burden. Okay. Even right now, when I share before you, and we pray that truly something happen in your hearts, your life, that you have this encounter like Paul, enthralled, captured, captivated, and nothing can shake your faith before him. Okay, three things I'd like to share here. A person who had the spiritual encounter with God, number one, has a close encounter with him. Is that working? Okay, that's it? Where is it? Okay, yeah, he met the Lord. There was a first-hand experience and an inward encounter with God. The light, the voice, and the words is a personal encounter, a first-hand, up-and-close, direct encounter with God. This is not, mom and dad wants to go to church, I must go to church, my friends are in the church, I go to church, everybody's reading the Bible, I read the Bible. No. Something in me was drawn by God. So whether mom and dad is not going, my friends are not there, I'm here. I know the Lord. I met him. He's alive in me. Not yet. When I was born, I was the second in the family. So mom got busy. Dad is busy too. So I was given to my granddaughter. So I have a sister, a younger brother. I grew up with my grandmother for 3 years. Okay. I think on my third year, I was brought back home. So imagine the trauma, being separated from the family that you grew up with. I thought grandma, that's my mom, that is my family. I mean, pulled out there. And then when I was brought home, my sister, my younger brother, says, you just keep on crying. Shut up. Okay. Go back home. We're still noisy. So I grew up with that feeling of separation from my family and rejection. Okay. Now, I didn't know that real issue is still in me. I brought it up when I went to high school. High school was like a huge emptiness. I was looking for something that I did not know what that is. I was sorry, the movies, the books, the friends, magazines, all those things. Until one night, I lay down on my bed. I could not sleep. I'm so empty within. One day, a friend invited me to join a fellowship just like this one. And then I was surprised. Why is everybody smiling? Smiling. Are we smiling? Okay. Why are you raising your hands, slapping your head? You're so happy. Okay. How about that? Okay. I didn't mention that I was a Catholic before. Every Sunday we go to Mass, recite the rosary. Okay. As far as I know, I'm already far above heaven. But these people, they have something that I do not have. What is that? And I started to look for it. And I thank God, in one of the first spiritual encounter that I had, he was in a conference too, just like this, an altar calling, going in front, accepting God's call. Suddenly, God's love filled me. There were no light, there were no sound, there were no Jesus talking to me, but something I felt. I felt the emptiness being filled, and like fountain joy bursting out. 12 p.m., 1 p.m., 1 a.m., 2 a.m., I could not sleep. There's a song in my heart. And the next thing I know, after the conference, I went to my best friend, my cousin, and shared with them this joy that I had. A first-hand experience with God. Okay. And then they have an inward encounter. This is not just a head knowledge, but an inward seeing. Okay. An inward meeting, inward experience of meeting God. Okay. I'm studying counseling, and there's one teacher that I had. He opened a seminar about inner healing. Okay, what was his story? When he was young, his dad was a drunkard. Go home, beat him many times. And in those, one of the times was when he was beaten black and blue, he was just crying there. And then asking, Lord God, where are you? Why do I have this kind of family? Why am I being beaten? So he was just crying in that one corner. And then he was complaining against God. And then suddenly, he says something. Okay. He was right across the window. I didn't mention, was it the real vision or some thought? He saw the Father there, the Father God, looking at him, and then just crying. He was just weeping there for him. And that picture, okay, became a healing for him. But that time when I feel so lonely, so abused, so hurt, the Father God is with me, He knows, and He weeps for me. And that became a spiritual turning point in his life. He started to write books, open inner healing seminars to all those who are inwardly sick. Okay, firstly, it's meeting the Lord. The second one, next one, it's being enlightened. People who meet God not only have a personal, direct encounter with Him, inner encounter with the Lord, but there's an inner enlightenment. The light flashing upon the heaven that He fell down, okay, and then He became blinded. What is this? The light of God. God is light, and Him there is no darkness. There's a spiritual realization. We know the story of Adam and Eve, isn't it? So when Adam and Eve sinned against God by taking the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, okay, and then God came again, what did Adam and Eve do? When God came back, what did He do? I see a hand over there, way back there. Yeah. They hid. Why? Because they realized they were naked. Okay. That same light that befell upon Paul is that same light that came upon Adam and Eve. God's glory just exposing our nakedness, our filth, our sinfulness. So we have been walking in darkness. We don't know our filth. And then suddenly we come into this room of light and we see ourselves. Okay. So when Paul saw this, I thought I was serving God. I thought I'm helping God's kingdom to advance. But the Lord says, you are persecuting me. What you are doing is hurting me. It's grieving me. So there's an inner conviction and then feeling and sensing the heart of God. Okay, have any one of us here felt the heartbeat of God? Do you know what is feeling the heartbeat of God? I once felt the heartbeat of God when I disobeyed Him, and that night I could not sleep. I was so sorry, not because of this sin, but I know I hurt my Father. I hurt my God who loves me. I have a nephew whom I always invite in a church meeting, and in one of the powerful meetings that we had, it was a praise and worship night, God's glory was there. And then when the pastor was making an altar call, he went in front. Though he believed in Jesus Christ, still he went in front. And then after the meeting, he went home. I don't know what he did he do. But the next day, her mom, which is my sister, who is my sister-in-law, called me up. She said, hey, Mom, what happened to my son? I said, oh, no, what did he do again? He said, no. I hope you continue on inviting him. Why? Because that night, when he returned home after the church meeting, he talked with me. And he apologized. Mom, sorry. Sorry for not listening to you. Sorry for being a headache. He was repentant. Now, no one told him that. But when he came before God's glory, the light came upon him, he just repented before the Lord. Okay. Next one is hearing God's voice. Okay. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's a voice from heaven, the voice of God. One particular characteristic of a voice is when it is spoken, what happened to it? It's gone. It's like a monument or an object. It's there. Voice spoken, it's gone. Okay. He had a fresh word. The here and now. God spoke to him. And that word stayed in his heart. And that word became a theme in his life. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. He started pursuit to know Jesus Christ in his life. Okay, so this time, it's not asking you, have you met the Lord? It's not letting you check yourself, do you have this spiritual turning point? But we ask ourselves, do I have God's word now? Is it something fresh in me? It is something God spoke to me. Now we pray that in this conference, we will have this experience. Meeting God, receiving His light, receiving His word, and it will build us up and nothing can shake us. Next one. Okay. Praise God. That what Paul experienced can also be our experience. Because God longs and desires to reveal Himself to us. It is God's desire. The Heavenly Father desires to show His glory, to show His presence, to give His word unto us. Okay? Because Jesus Christ has opened the way. In the Old Testament, God says, do not come. Put some limits there. Do not force your way through. Make sure they are in the mountain. Do not go up high in the mountain. Because the moment they see me, they will die. I'm glorious. I'm holy God. But in the New Testament, there was a change. Saying, come, all your tired and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to the river of life. Come to me. So in the New Testament, right now we are in, the Lord is now inviting us. Because the new and the living way have been opened through Jesus Christ. And thank God you are here in this conference. This is the first session. And then the second session and the third session, we pray that this will be our experience. We will have a spiritual turning point before God. Okay, can we all rise up first? We will have a 15 minutes break, and then I'll have the worship team come back for our second session. Okay. Bless your holy name, O God. May you continue to work upon us, O Holy Spirit, enlightening our hearts, opening our eyes, O God, and releasing your word. You are glorious. You're powerful. You're loving. In Jesus' name. Amen. The love of Jesus in our midst, O God. It is not by accident we are here. Lord, you want to speak to our hearts. You want to reveal your love to us. Consuming fire of the Holy Spirit. Fanning the flame in our spirit, O God. That we love you. Passion for Jesus. Follow you. Stand for thee and offer our all to you, Lord. Thank you, O God. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Shall we take our seats?
Yes.
God. Can you help me? Do you know this person?
No.
Sai.
Sai and? That's right.
And a white.
And this one?
Sky.
Okay. So first Michael Phelps.
The
swimmer, yeah. The greatest Olympic of all time. How many medals did he win?
12.
I don't know. 16.
What?
12. 16.
Gold medals?
11.
Okay, I don't know also.
2. 4.
So far he's the greatest. Because, oh yeah?
He won one in that picture.
Yeah. Okay. So in just one game, he won like more than 10. Okay, let me check. Okay, and the other one, who is that guy?
Nine.
So why? Who is this?
The guy who made
Gangnam
Style.
Alright.
Gentleman.
Okay, so Michael Phelps, he won, he collected 22 medals, 18 of them are gold. Okay, Sai. Okay, who's Sai? His video Gangnam Style, all kinds of style barriers this year. There were like, how many million YouTube views? What? Like how many? Yes. Yes?
44 million.
What?
42?
42? No? Higher? 84. How many? Shut it out.
29.
87. How many?
1 million.
No? Okay. It's 820 million. You can at least imagine. So everybody having their wedding, their birthday, doing the horse dance. Can we do that?
Yeah.
You know how to... Okay. Okay, who's this guy?
I don't know any of them.
Who's this one? The first one. Okay. The Facebook guy, what's his name? Mark Zuckerberg. Okay. Facebook have become so big, they call it the third largest country in the world, without any land. Okay. How many are Facebook members here? Oh my. Does your parents know it?
No.
Okay, now they know. Now, later on they will know. Okay. And who's the other guy here?
No idea.
Okay, it's Larry Page.
Who is Google?
Okay, the Google guy. The most successful website so far.
Huh?
Yeah. Co-founder of Google. Yeah, Larry Page. Okay, these are great people. They have great accomplishment. They have great achievement in life. Isn't it? Okay. But there are other greater people than them. Who could that be? Who are greater, who are greatest in God's kingdom? This laurels, this achievement, this success are only here in this 21st century. Next year, they will be replaced by some of the famous guy. Mel Gold medalist, another one will take it. Google will build the fund. Some other social web will come out. Psy will be replaced by Justin Bird. Justin Bird. Okay. Okay. So all of this thing are passing away. But there are things that are lasting. Okay? They become the greatest in God's kingdom. Who are the greatest in God's kingdom?
Me.
Really? Are you sure? Okay. So one time, there's a young man who came to Jesus. He says, Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Okay. He's a rich man, and he had been a polite, good guy. He says, the Lord says, obey all those commandments, 10 commandments. Okay. And then the young man was proud saying, Lord, I obeyed all of this. I respected my parents. I didn't murder and steal. I didn't forget my life. I am clean, squeaky clean, 100%. I passed all of it. And then the Lord said one thing. You know, praise God, you did all of this, but one thing you lack. What is that? Sell all that you have. Sell all that you have. Sell the cars, sell those houses, your stocks, your gadgets, all this. Sell it and come follow me. Now, what is the point of Jesus Christ here? Why sell all of those things? Are the rich people bad people? If we have houses, is it bad? If we have a lot of money, is that bad? Now, what's the point here? Why is the Lord asking to sell all of these things? Follow him. Wow. Sister Margaret, take note of her. She had a lot of lollipops here. Yeah?
He wanted to request that he would be
after
everything.
Wow. Okay, wow. Who's the youth pastor of our sister here? Doing a good job. Okay. He want to test the heart of Jesus, the heart of the young man. The Lord want to test the heart of the young man. So what the point of the Lord is, okay, I appreciate your obedience. I appreciate that you abided by the 10 commandments, you obeyed all of it. Okay, you have been good. But one thing you lack, and that's what I'm looking for to everyone, is that you sell all and come follow and love me. I'm looking for your heart. You know how things, gadgets, possession takes our heart. But when the Lord asked him to sell all, he was asking him to give him his heart. Okay. So here, A captivated heart knows what is the greatest commandment. What is the greatest commandment? There are a lot of commandments here. Okay? When I was young, I thought, if you want to be the first in the kingdom of God, you should be a pastor like our pastor, David. Okay? Okay, you should be a good worship leader like, where is he?
Evan.
And Vicky over there. You should be the great pastor's wife, our sister Greta. Okay. You should be a great youth pastor like Sister Margaret over there. Right? Okay? But no. Okay, it's not even word, name, accomplishment, but it's the heart. The heart that can move God. The heart that is captivated by God. I wonder, have you seen someone whose action, behavior moved you? You appreciate, you desire, you just wonder, wow, how could they love God with such time aback? So when I was still in my early ministry, we are shepherding a group of young people. Now one sister belongs to a Buddhist family. They are non-Christian, ancestral worship. Don't become a Christian. That's an anti-family thing for them. But this person was touched by God, moved by God. No matter how the parents forbade her to join the meeting, she will find time. Okay, parents are away, find time, squeeze in to join the meeting. Parents saw her reading the Bible, took the Bible, put it before her. What she will do, she will find another Bible and read it early in the morning, 5 a.m. Where? Inside the restroom. Read God's Word. One time, she was caught in a meeting. Mother came, slapped her right in front of our meeting. Wow, such humiliation. Okay, but the next week, she was still back. Okay, we saw her, we were so moved. And I remember a brother, he will join the meeting, he will travel like 1 hour, bus ride. He's so skinny. The doctor says, you are sick, you should rest. But we have such a hunger for God. No doctor's advice will stop him. I will join meeting. I will serve God. So he was one of the usher there. And he was greeting people with his old jacket and skinny body, but flashing smile. And people who shake hands with him, shake hands with tears. You should not be here. You should be in bed. How come you came here? It's an hour travel. That was moving. I was moved. And I believe God, that moved God. So one day, when we come before God, who shall be the greatest? Will it be this rock artist? Will it be successful guy? Okay, Olympic guy? It might not be. But people who love the Lord with all his heart, mind, soul, spirit, strength. These are people who are greatest before him. I have a very to share here about a captivated heart. Okay. Right now we have a battle. Okay? Satan wants to have our heart, especially young people. We are the future of the church. We are the future of this congregation. He wants to work among the young people, and his attack is through the mind and the heart. If I get the mind, the heart, they are mine. Okay, but God wants our heart captivated. Okay, firstly, what is a captivated heart? Okay, anyway, Paul here, I'll go back to this later on. Paul here is a person who has been captivated by the Lord. He saw the Lord's glory. He saw the Lord's beauty and said, "Who are you, Lord? What is his life? What is his love?" And from then on, it became a theme in his life. I want to know Jesus. I consider all things done, give this passing power of knowing Christ, that I may know him, that I may know his resurrection, that I may know his suffering, sharing his suffering. Okay. Number one, a captivated heart is a passionate heart, a heart on fire. Okay. What is the opposite? What is the meaning for a passion? Another lollipop there. Passion. Oh, it's Barbie again. Yeah, breaking all records here.
Passion is something that you like or you want to follow so much that you would give up everything to follow or to do it.
Okay, wow. Yes, amen. That's an intense emotion, compelling action for an object or a thing, desire and deep interest. Okay, 100% A. Okay, it's got passionate heart. Now, I could be passionate over sports. I could be passionate over pets. I could be passionate over fashion. Anything else? Our interest.
Money.
Oh my. Okay. What else? People. Particularly. Did you say people? Okay. Particularly. Women. All the people you love. I'm passionate for my mother. I want to see my mom. Okay? Is that it? Sure. Okay. Okay. Now, what is the opposite of passion? What is the opposite of passion? Apathy. Indifference. I'm cold. Okay. Some people come here in our church with passion. On fire. Okay. I told our sister Michelle, you got a daughter on fire here. Okay. Flaming there. Amen. Okay. May God's blood cover him. Okay. Her. Okay. Okay. People come here on fire, hungry, thirsty for God. I want more of His presence. There must be more than this. Spirit of God. But some people come here cold, lukewarm. Okay. They're just dragging themselves. Now, God is looking for people with passion, with fire. And amazingly, fire translates. Fire is infectious. Okay, I sit with people on fire, suddenly my cold heart burns on fire to love God. And this conference is a place for our fire once again to be inflamed, kindled before God. Okay, passion before Him. Second one is, okay, a captivated heart is a heart that is now focused. Okay, my heart may be so wild, but right now I saw the glory of the Lord. I'm captivated, and I say, this is what the one thing in my life that I want. I may not have all the things. I want this one, the best. I will not settle for the better. I go for the best. Okay. In the past, I'm fond of cell phones, you know. Okay, I go from one cell phone to another cell phone, and look at the latest. But when I had my iPhone, that's way, way back, like 5 years ago, my iPhone 3GS, I'm still using it. Okay, I never browse on any other iPhone. This is enough. I got the best! Okay, now if people have not seen the best, they will still hope for other things, seek for other things. The people who have been captured by God, their heart is now focused. I saw it, and I want it, and I'm aiming for that thing. Others will be secondary. Okay, there's a story here. I think I shared in our church before. I'd like to share it this morning. This is the story that moved my heart, inspired me to really have a focused heart before God. Okay, so there's the dad, old already, and then maybe about to pass away, and then he gathered all his children, maybe as all of the whole clan, maybe as many as this. And he got like 12 children. And then with grandkids already, they have a family, big family reunion. After all the barbecues, the drinks, the food, they all settle down. And then dad says, okay, dad is getting old. I don't want you to fight over my wealth. I'm going to distribute my inheritance to all of you. So right there on the wall, he posted all of his wills. Okay, this one is his shipping company, his computer company, his farming company, and here are the houses, the vacation houses, here are the stocks, okay, and the jewelries, all of this. And then starting from the eldest son, he called him, okay, son, you're the eldest. You have the right, okay, the privilege to choose on your own. Pick anything. Of course, the son took the biggest one, the shipping company. Okay? And then the next son, and the next daughter, next son, blah, 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 way down to the youngest one. Now, when the youngest one was about to stand up, father called him, hey, now your turn. Pick what you want. There's still more. Pick what you want. Now the youngest son stood up, and instead of going in front, he just went to his dad, hugged him, and said, "Dad, I don't want those things. I want you. You're all I want. You're mine. I don't want you to go." Now that enlightened me so much. Many times I come before God with a lot of requests. "Lord, give me this, give me that. Can you do this thing for me? I want this. Please stop this. Okay, I want this gift more than the giver. I want his blessing more than God himself." But a person who had been thrown, captured, enthralled, fascinated, enslaved by God, he knows he wants the Lord alone. "I want you, Jesus, ever in my life." Okay. One thing I enjoy here in San Jose, okay, is, of course, I appreciate the lessons that I learned in our church, especially our pastor is recovering from cancer. That's a huge lesson for me. I like the opportunity of studying here. But the best, if you ask me, what's the best thing that you like here in the States? I say, the best thing I like here is the early morning, when I could wake up, okay, all alert, like 6 a.m., and then you wake up in the mountain, by the pasture, and then you go out, and then jog, put on your iPod, and sing song before God! And say, "Lord, these are all mine. This presence, this nature, this morning, they are all mine. They could have all these other things, just give me Jesus." And then every morning, God meets me with his presence. And every morning, God satisfies the hunger that is within me. Okay, coming in, I'm alone. I left my daughter, my family, way down there, and then I don't know what's happening to them. But every day, I just come before God, and God meets me, satisfies my heart. Okay. Next one. Oh, where is it? Okay, a guarded heart. So, a captivated heart is not only a passionate heart on fire, secondly, it is a heart that is focused, and then thirdly, it's a guarded heart. So, the question is, why are there some friends here? What is this? This one. Hello. Huh? To fix things out? Keep things out. From? Okay, you guard it. Because a lot of things would want to touch, enter, take hold of our heart. I guard my heart, that my heart will be solely for the Lord. Okay. I wrote something here. The devil is constantly putting things before us to lure us away from God. He wants to capture our attention. He wants to capture our passion with fake substitute. Like what? It could be sports. It could be magazines. It could be movies, video games, music, concert, music videos, clothes, accessories. So the heart is pictured here as something like a bubble gum. The moment it attaches something, it sticks. And I want this! And attach something, sticks. I want that. So the heart right now has so many desire. It's not focused on God. And then it is so restless. It's not on fire with God. I want all. I want to have it now. And I end up wanting for all, but having nothing. But a person who guards his heart saying, "I'm reserved for Jesus. My heart is for the Lord alone. I will guard it from loving all other things. I will guard it from destruction, but I will love Jesus alone." So this morning, we pray that in this conference, we still have today, tomorrow the whole day, and Monday we're going back here, we lay aside all those distractions for a while. Because what we want our heart to be captivated, captured by God, that this heart will love Him alone and love Him fully. Okay, that's it. So can I have the worship team now here? Sister. Yeah, I chose this song to repeat. Yep. Yep. Please help us out. And can you all rise up now?